Now, did you guys get Billy's dollar? We got to pay the light bill this week. Thank you all for your participation. The choir's good. It's fun watching you. Man alive. A lot of energy over there. In Romans chapter 1, St. Paul presents himself as a monomaniac with a mission. Paul was aware of a desperate need in the world, and he rose to meet it. Seems like his motto was, anybody can smell a rotten egg, but not everybody is willing to lay a better one. And Paul said, I know about a better egg, and I'm going to lay it. And his first chapter of Romans is a bit different than Paul, the rest of the book of Romans, very systematic, very organized, very easy to trace. But in the first chapter, Paul is almost like an enthusiastic evangelist. He's just pouring out. He's excited. He's wanting these Roman Christians to understand, first of all, who he is. Rome was one of the two churches Paul wrote letters to that he didn't plant, the church at Colossae and the church at Rome. So Paul spent a large part of this first chapter introducing himself to these Roman Christians. And it was important that he introduced himself because the impact of the message is often related to the integrity of the messenger. If you don't believe the messenger, you're probably not going to believe the message. So Paul spent some time early on in this epistle helping them understand his passion, helping them understand why he was so concerned about spreading the gospel. And he was so concerned about spreading the gospel because he understood that the gospel, as he stated, and we'll see later in this message this morning, that the gospel is God's power for salvation. This gospel message is God's device. It's God's power to change the world. And the world needs to be changed. And Paul was aware of that. And so he stood up and traveled the world planting churches and writing letters to those churches, which they enjoyed and which here 2,000 years later, we're still enjoying them. Paul stood up to the challenge and moved into the vortex, moved into the vacuum that the world had created by creating problems that it could not solve. And Paul said, somebody's got to do this. And God has called me to do it. And so he did it. Walter Adeney wrote, we wait for better people to arise and undertake the task that seemed too great for our strength. We cry for a new race of God-sent heroes to accomplish the Herculean labors before which we faint and fall. But we might ourselves become the better people. Nay, assuredly, we would become God's heroes if we would but open our hearts to receive the Spirit by the breath of which the weakest are made strong and the most indolent are fired with a divine energy. Today, as in the time of Paul, the one supreme need is for men and women who will be inspired by God's vision for the world. Paul, inspired by God's vision to change the world, began to change the world through the gospel. And in this first chapter of Romans, as Paul first introduced himself and then introduced the gospel, his first movement, the verse 7 verses, Paul wrote that he was committed to his mission because he was called by God to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul understood that he was a man of destiny. And we'll see how Paul explained that to the Roman Christians and to us today. And to read this first chapter or to read any of Paul's writings, to think he's just writing history, he's just writing biography, and not see that Paul intended us to read this as a case study, as a model for the rest of life. Paul was impassioned not only to tell us his story, but to communicate to us that his story is our story. And so as we read this, we understand that Paul was committed to his mission because he was called by God to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, and no less are we called by God to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. So read Paul's writing here as a case study for you and me and how our life. Secondly, Paul was strategic in his mission because he was called to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to God's people. So it wasn't just a message in a vacuum. It wasn't just a lot of words. Paul was impassioned to help people change their lives. He saw people suffering as a result of their own ignorance. They just didn't know how to live a better life. And they were screwing their lives up. And Paul said, I know of a better way. And so I'm very strategic about how I present this message because it has to take. It has to take in your life. Because the consequences are enormous and they are eternal. So Paul was very strategic in his mission because he was called to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to God's people. And Paul was passionate about his mission because he was convinced that the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to improve people's lives. Paul experienced it himself. He did a big 180. His whole life was changed. Why? Because he met Jesus. As Tom and Debbie sang last week, I just saw Jesus. Wow. I've just seen Jesus. And my life is no longer the same. And that was Paul's story. He had confidence in his message because he has confidence in his Savior. So let's look at these first verses where Paul tells us that he is committed to his mission because he was called by God to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read with me. I'm just going to read those verses. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. And then he tells us about this gospel of God. The gospel God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we received the grace of apostleship to call all Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, this gospel, this message I'm presenting to you, it comes from God himself, and I'm doing it not just because I think it's a good idea. Listen to the words. Paul, a doulos, a slave of Christ, totally, 100 committed. He used this imagery from the Old Testament of a slave who was released after a period of time. Every 7 years, all the slaves had to be released. But a slave could say, you know, I like working for this guy. They take good care of me. And so I'm going to commit for the rest of my life to be a slave. And there was a ceremony. They would put their ear next to the doorpost of the house, of the household where they were. And now they became a free slave, and they poked a hole in the earlobe to signify that this person willingly now is going to be servant, indebted, working, living, letting me take care of him for the rest of his life. And that's the imagery Paul uses. I am totally committed. I am a slave of Jesus Christ. I am called to be an apostle. And in Galatians 1:15, in writing to the church at Galatia, he said, I was called from birth. God called me from the womb to be his servant. Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah said the same thing. I am called by God. He said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Wow. Very similar to what Paul said. When God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Men of destiny, men who understood what it means to serve God. People who understood, as Paul wrote to us in Ephesians chapter 1, I called you before the foundation of the earth. Before I created you, I had a plan for your life. And my friends, any one of us sitting here can be in touch through prayer and through meditation with why God put you on planet Earth. Have you ever thought about that? Paul was a man of destiny. Jeremiah was a man of destiny. Kathy is a woman of destiny. Floyd is a man of destiny. I am a man of destiny. You are a man or woman of destiny. And like Paul, you can say, I am committed to my mission because God has called me to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe not preaching, maybe not being Paul traveling around the world, writing letters that are going to become the Bible, probably not. But to identify that place, that thing where saying, God has called me. I am a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be a person, to be a child of his, to be a servant of his, and set apart a specific life plan. And say, I'm a CPA, I'm an accountant. Yeah, but you're an accountant for Jesus Christ. You say, I'm a homemaker. I stay home, take care of kids. Yeah, for the cause of Christ. I sell shoes. Yes, you're a shoe salesman because that's your mission field. I'm a school teacher. That's your mission field. Wherever you are a woman, a man of destiny. God has placed you where you are for a reason. And to get in touch with that and to say, I matter in this world. I matter to God. I matter to people. I matter to my kids. I matter to my spouse. I matter to my friends because God has given me a message to share. And Paul said, my whole life is driven. I am passionate. I am committed to life because I am a man of destiny because God has called me. George Bernard Shaw said, true joy in life is being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one. It is recognizing that you are a force of nature. We would say a force of God. Instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. So you got two options. How come nobody's taking care of me? Or what has God given me to take care of the rest of the world? And it makes a difference. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Paul said, I am committed to what God has given me to do because I present the gospel. And he says, I've been set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel God promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son as to his earthly line as descendant of David. He is the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament. He came to change the world. He is also the Spirit, the one who, through the Spirit of holiness, was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's saying this gospel I am presenting is the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came to earth to die for our sins. He was raised from the dead for our justification, to prove the point that he was making to validate his claim to be the Son of God, to be the Messiah, to be the Savior of the world. And he came back from the grave, and we celebrated that last week because we serve a living, risen Savior who is alive in you and in me because he wants you and me to use his power to spread his message of love and redemption and salvation to the world. And Paul said, I am so committed to this message because it's the gospel of God that presents Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation, to change lives, to take people who are wandering in darkness, who don't know the truth, who are messing up their lives and don't know how to fix it. Paul said, who could be committed to a greater thing in life than be God's instrument to help other people come into a living relationship with Christ? So because Paul was so committed to his mission, he was very strategic about it. Verses 8 through 13, he said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. I pray that now at last, by God's will, I may come to you. The way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may mutually be encouraged by each other's faith. I don't want you to be unaware, brethren and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you but have been prevented until now. But I am coming in order that I might have a harvest among you just as I had among other Gentiles. So Paul tells us that because my mission is so important, I'm very strategic about it. And I do three things in my strategy. First, prayer. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. And the God whom I serve in my spirit preaching the gospel, I remember you in my prayers at all times. I pray that now at last by God's will I may come to you. So praying every day that God will give us an awareness, that God will open people's hearts, that God will give us relationships with people where we can help them understand the gospel. And the gospel that Paul is talking about is not, it is the gospel for the wayward. It is the gospel for the unsaved, for the people who don't know Jesus. We thank God for places like Coachella Valley Rescue Mission. We thank God for Mama's House. We thank God for missionaries who go to the unreached peoples of the world. But Paul is writing to the Roman Christians, to the people where he actually said, your faith is being proclaimed throughout the world. People are bragging about the church at Rome. You're good people. You're gospel people. You know Jesus. And the gospel is also for us. It's not just taking people who are in difficulty and getting them out of trouble. It's taking people like you lovely folks, good people, Jesus people, church people, and saying the gospel is for you too. And Paul is saying, you good Christians in Rome, I'm praying that you'll be better Christians in Rome. And I want to come and see you for two reasons. First of all, I want to preach the gospel. I want to proclaim to you. I want to tell you more about God's truth so that you can grow on it. Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for helping us grow. And Paul said, I just want to share the gospel with you. And as we talk to people, as we live before people, living is crucial. It is important that we live this, but proclamation. I said to somebody this week, we can love people all the way to hell. Just being nice Christian folks. And someday they will stand in hell and say, why didn't you ever tell me that I needed Jesus? You're my friend. We played golf together. We went to dinner together. And you knew that truth. And you never even told me. Oh, I lived it. So did my pagan neighbor. Sometimes he was a better person than you. So Paul said, I want to be with you. That's important. I want you to model your life. As he said, follow me as I follow Christ. But I also want to explain to you the truth. I want to make you strong. I want to impart some spiritual gift to you to make you strong. And then this is a beautiful thing. That is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Paul made up a word to talk about that. I'm not going to say it to you. It's a crazy word. But what it means is you and I sit down together. Now, here's the great apostle. Here's the guy who's writing the Bible. And he said, when I come to Rome, I just want to sit down with you. And I want to build into your life. And I want you to build into my life. You and me, hear it again. That you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I got a call from my son Chris last night. He's kind of a crazy guy, like his old man. But he read something yesterday that he was so excited about. And he couldn't wait to share it with me. I'm 81 years old. I've written courses on spiritual formation and taught them all over Africa and India. I mean, I'm supposed to be the expert on this. My 56-year-old son calls me. And we were mutually encouraged by each other's faith. My adopted kids, Ryan and Jill, have opened up a whole new vista of spirituality to me in my last probably 5 years. I want more of God. They're younger than Chris. So here's this old geezer learning from Sarah Buettmiller, and I share articles for Harvard Business Review and Bible, and it's just, we work together, but it's more this mutual growth, this commitment. I want you to be everything you can be, and I know you want me to be everything I can be. So here's Paul going and saying, these brand new Christians in Rome, I want to learn from you guys. I want to grow from you guys. Yes, I've got stuff to give you. But do you have a friend? Do you have people in your life who are cultivating you, who are holding you accountable, who are listening to you and talking to you and mutually growing and praying for each other? Prayer, presentation of the gospel, and just presence. Being with each other and watching God help us grow. And third, Paul was passionate about his mission because he was convinced that the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to improve people's lives. He was committed to his mission because he was called by God to present the gospel. He was strategic in his mission because he was called to present the gospel to people. And he was passionate about his mission because he was convinced that the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to improve people's lives. Here's how he ended. He said, verse 14, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to wise and foolish. That's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew, to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from beginning to end, just as it is written, the righteous people will live by faith. Paul said, this gospel message changes lives. And I am passionate about that. I am passionate about that because I am convinced that this gospel is God's solution to the problems in the world. And Paul was saying, I am indebted. I'm running out of time here. So I'm just going to say this word, I am obligated. It means I am indebted. I am in debt. There are two ways to get in debt. Floyd could loan me $1,000. And now I'm in debt. I have to pay that back. That's one way to be in debt. Kathy could give me $1,000 and say, this is for Floyd. You need to give this $1,000 to Floyd. Now, I'm not in debt to Floyd because I borrowed from Floyd, but she gave me something that I need to give to Floyd. And Paul said, I am indebted to the world because God gave me something far more valuable than $1,000. He gave me a message that changes lives. And he said to me, those people need to hear this truth that you have. Paul said, I am indebted to everyone I meet to tell them the message of Jesus Christ. And I'm passionate about that. John W. Gardner wrote, the renewal of societies and organizations, and I would say churches, can go forward only if someone cares. Apathy and lowered motivation are the most widely noted characteristics of a civilization or organization or church on the downward path. Apathetic people accomplish nothing. People who believe in nothing change nothing for the better. They renew nothing and heal no one, least of all themselves. Anyone who understands our situation at all knows that we are in little danger of failing through lack of material strength. If we falter, it will be failure of heart and spirit. And Paul said, I am a monomaniac with a mission. One goal, one purpose, one thing. To help people experience a revolution in their life by coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ and learning to walk by faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is God's power to change lives. We owe a great debt to those who don't know this message. Are we committed to our mission? Are we strategic about our mission? Are we passionate about our mission? Let's learn from Paul. Let's be monomaniacs with a mission.